Thank you, Margaret. So I'll be speaking this morning about a community navigation service that's based in southeastern Georgia. And I'm, however, coming from Washington, D.C., the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. In terms of disclosures, I don't have any personal financial relationships with commercial interests relevant to this presentation, but I will say that the program and the research study were both funded by the Bristol-Myers Squibb Foundation. So these are the learning objectives for my talk this morning. Hopefully at the end of this presentation you'll be able to identify three elements of the recovery paradigm as it relates to persons with serious mental illnesses, three aspects of the opening doors to recovery community navigation service in southeastern Georgia, and to evaluate the effectiveness of the program based on baseline and early longitudinal data from patients enrolled in this new program. So I'll tell you about the program itself for about 10 minutes or so, and then I'll tell you about the research study that we're conducting on the program. Opening Doors to Recovery is a new service paradigm that was incepted and implemented by NAMI Georgia, that is the Georgia affiliate of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And so they have a grant from the BMS Foundation to actually implement the program for 100 clients in southeastern Georgia, and I have a parallel grant to conduct research on the new program. So the program is based largely in Savannah and the surrounding counties. Specifically, the program is based in Region 5, Mental Health Region 5 of Georgia, which is a 34-county region in southeastern Georgia. So ODR seeks to reduce the number of days spent in inpatient units, homelessness, and detention facilities in an initial sample of 100 participants with serious mental illnesses, all of whom were recently discharged from a state hospital in Savannah or from a crisis stabilization unit in the 34-county region. And so we enrolled 100 participants who met our criteria for psychiatric recidivism, which we defined as two hospitalizations in the prior 6 months before enrollment in ODR. And Opening Doors to Recovery, or ODR, seeks to promote recovery by focusing on four aspects of recovery: ensuring adequate treatment, maintaining safe housing, developing a meaningful day, whatever that constitutes for the participant, and using technology to support recovery, primarily through the use of smartphones. So this is just a very simple diagram depicting why ODR was developed by NAMI Georgia. And so as you can see on the right, some of the main problems facing people with serious mental illnesses are institutional recidivism. That means sort of recycling in and out of state hospitals and detention facilities, jails and prisons, and also a lack of personal recovery, the inability to really pursue recovery in the way that we would envision for them. And these poor outcomes are often driven by multiple difficulties, including a fragmented, inaccessible community mental health system, unengaged local stakeholders, frequent police contacts and criminal justice involvement, and limited support for their own personal recovery. And so this is sort of a depiction of some of the problems that were identified in southeastern Georgia that prompted NAMI to develop ODR. And this is a simple diagram depicting some of the key elements of ODR. The main intervention is what we call community navigation, which is similar to traditional case management, but it's community-based and mobile rather than clinic-based. And so the community navigation process is carried out by a team of three CNSs, or community navigation specialists, and I'll describe them in just a minute. They work closely with a number of collaborative partners in the region, from law enforcement to the local chamber of commerce, to the housing authority, local mental health systems, other services, parks and recreation, et cetera. So they have lots and lots of collaborative partners to develop a meaningful day for their participants. There's also a special police CNS linkage, which I'll describe in just a few minutes. And finally, all of this, of course, is driven by the process of recovery support, which, as I mentioned earlier, focuses on ensuring adequate treatment, maintaining safe housing, developing a meaningful day, and using technology. And so the goal of all of these components of ODR is to hopefully reduce institutional recidivism and promote recovery. So the CNS team is comprised of three navigators, or CNSs. One is a peer specialist, certified by the Georgia Peer Specialist Program. So this is someone who is in recovery from a serious mental illness and has that lived experience. There's also a family member of someone with a serious mental illness who is familiar with trying to navigate a complex and fragmented mental health system. And thirdly, there's a licensed social worker. So the three CNSs work together on a team, sort of similar to ACT, but obviously with a different makeup of professionals. And by the way, there are four CNS teams, and each carries approximately 25 patients. So there were a total of 100 patients enrolled in this region of Georgia. They went through a special three-week training that focused on tenets of recovery, whole health, and resiliency, and learning about the various mental health and service agencies in the region. And this training was specifically designed for the CNSs. We looked at the CNS's knowledge and self-efficacy for working with people with serious mental illnesses in a community navigation role by administering a pre-test and post-test design, and we found increases in both knowledge and self-efficacy comparing their before and after their CNS training that went on for about 3 weeks. So community navigation is one component of ODR. Another piece of it is a unique linkage system between local police and the CNSs. And the way this works is when our 100 participants were enrolled in the program, they had an option to sign a special consent form that allowed their name to be entered into the state's law enforcement criminal justice database, which is housed by the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. And so, therefore, when a police officer has a routine encounter with one of these participants and goes back to his car to run a background check on his or her in-car laptop, the officer will get a caveat or a warning back on his laptop that says this person is a participant of the Opening Doors to Recovery program. Please call this 1-800 number. The officer then has the option to call the 1-800 number and is connected to a call taker in the local mental health system who then immediately calls the patient's CNS. And the CNS can then get on the phone with the cop or else come out to the scene and work with the participant and the law enforcement officer to hopefully resolve the situation and potentially avoid an unnecessary discretionary arrest, and thereby hopefully reducing incarceration. So this is a really unique component of ODR, and I'm hoping to get a grant actually to study just this one ingredient of the program. A little bit about the research project that we're conducting. Another picture from Savannah. So our project has five aims listed here. And this is not a controlled trial, not a randomized trial. We initially wanted to do a randomized controlled trial, but the state wanted us to enroll all the 100 participants into the program rather than randomizing them to either the program or treatment as usual. And so we're relying on a quasi-experimental research design comparing the patient's 1 year of working with CNSs with their 1 year prior to working with CNSs. A little bit about our sample. The average age is 37 years. The average educational attainment is about 11 years. You can see that half are male, roughly half are African American, and 85% were unemployed prior to hospitalization. I'm going to give just a few sort of testimonials and case vignettes since we're still collecting the quantitative data, and I'll give a little bit of the quantitative data in just a few minutes. One participant said, "I wish everyone else could see me the way that you see me," referring to his CNS. "I don't even know how you see me, but whatever it is, I want to feel this way forever. I feel like how normal people must feel. But if it doesn't last forever, I'll remember this period in time that I was respected and heard and appreciated for the rest of my life. Opening Doors to Recovery has good people in it helping me." So this is just one sort of testimonial from a client in the Opening Doors to Recovery program. Again, the CNSs are working closely with their participants, focusing on these four domains of recovery. So a couple of the domains relate to securing adequate treatment and also securing safe housing. And this is a quick vignette of how this worked with one participant. So participant 31 was living with a couple that she had met 5 years prior to enrolling in ODR. She was actively using drugs in an environment that supported such behaviors, and she was not compliant with her medication. I should note that all of our 100 participants have either a major psychotic disorder or a major mood disorder, and of course many of them have a substance use comorbidity. She's currently living at a woman's residential program for substance abuse treatment, and she has guaranteed placement along with treatment for the next 6 months. She is compliant with prescribed treatment, is maintaining sobriety, and is engaged in activities at the residence. So you can see this is one example of how the CNSs were able to locate both adequate treatment and safe housing for a participant. In terms of using technology, here's a vignette on how that works for some of our clients. Participant number 4 now readily makes use of her own cell phone, given to her by the ODR program, to communicate with her family, her CNSs, and others. After her CNS has taught her how to operate the cell phone, changing the ringtones, adjusting volume, etc. So after a one-on-one tutorial, she now remains readily engaged in ODR by phone, and she states that she enjoys being able to remain connected in this way. So the clients have very quick access to their CNSs because they now have a cell phone. So a couple of the outcomes that we're looking at include reduced inpatient psychiatric recidivism and reduced incarceration. We're still collecting data at 4 months, 8 months, and 12 months, but I'm going to give you a little bit of data that constitutes a signal that there may be an effect that we're going to be able to see at the end of the 12-month study, which will be in April. So among 42 participants who have crossed the 12-month mark already, whether they were retained in the intervention or the study, we found that state hospital days in the year prior to hospitalization averaged 41 days, and this differed significantly from the number of days in the year during ODR, which averaged 19 days. This is a mean difference of 22 days. Again, we're very limited by the quasi-experimental design, but it looks like there may be a signal here. So does ODR also reduce arrests? So just a quick testimonial about how the police CNS linkage might be working. On July 4th, a Savannah police officer called the 1-800 number because a subject's name came up in the GCIC system when he performed a background check, noting to call the 1-800 number. So he was interacting with someone in the streets, and he happened to do a routine background check, and the warning came up on his screen. This is similar to the warning that an officer would get saying that the person is wanted or has a bench warrant or what have you, but rather it says this person's in a special mental health program. So the call taker immediately contacted the participant's CNS, who met the participant and the officer in the field. This process likely prevented the participant from going back to jail. A little bit of preliminary data along these lines. Looking at 26 actually, out of our 100 participants, 26 of them had had an arrest in the 1 year prior to enrolling in ODR, and the mean number of arrests in the whole sample was 0.49. Now, among 35 participants who have already crossed the 12-month point in the study, we see that 20% of them had at least one arrest during their one-year period of working with ODR, and their mean number of arrests was 0.40. Again, we don't know if this is going to be significant at 12 months once the full sample finishes the study, but there may be a signal here of an effect. So finally, does ODR promote recovery? And I'm going to give some results in these five recovery domains: insight, satisfaction with mental health services, quality of life, community adjustment, and what we call community navigation competencies. Now, these results are preliminary, only looking at the first 50 participants rather than the full sample of 100. And we're also here looking only at baseline versus 4 months, because we're still collecting data at 8 months and 12 months. So this is preliminary data. Using the Birchwood Insight Scale, we find a significant improvement in insight from baseline, when they're coming out of the hospital, to 4 months after working with the CNSs for 4 months. Again, no control study, no control sample, so you sort of have to take this with a grain of salt, but it's a signal that there may be some improvement in insight. In terms of mental health services, again, we see an improvement from baseline to 4 months of working with their CNSs. Quality of life, measured using the QALY, we see a significant improvement in quality of life among these first 50 participants from baseline to 4 months. We also measure community adjustment using the Multnomah Community Adjustment Scale. This measures things like physical health, money management, alcohol and drug abuse, adherence with treatment, etc. And we see a significant improvement from baseline to 4 months. We're also looking at what we call community navigation competencies. This is a scale that we developed ourselves, and it measures things like getting medicine, keeping safe and stable housing, using a computer, using a cell phone, managing money, eating a healthy diet. And we see improvements from baseline to 12 months in these community navigation competencies. So just to summarize Opening Doors to Recovery, this is a new mental health service that was developed by NAMI Georgia because of a perceived need for improved community-based mental health services in the region. And so they developed this program through funding from the BMS Foundation. And there are a number of ingredients in ODR that we're not able to necessarily tease apart in studying ODR, but we do have early evidence that there may be a reduction in inpatient psychiatric recidivism, detention in jails and prisons, and also improvement in a number of recovery measures. We've recently submitted a grant proposal to do a randomized controlled trial of ODR in the Savannah region, and we'll see if NIMH is interested in funding that. We've also recently submitted a grant proposal to look at that one piece of ODR, which is the linkage system between local law enforcement officers and CNSs. So I hope you enjoy beautiful San Francisco. Please come and visit beautiful Washington, D.C. And also, yes, and also keep in mind beautiful Savannah, Georgia. Thank you.